Mishnah Yud Aleph, the 11th Mishnah on the 5th chapter in Perakhei of Zavim. We're continuing with various types of laws that we began studying specifically in the previous Mishnah. And really this Mishnah is a continuation of our previous Mishnah. It begins as follows. Balkeri Kemaga Sheretz. A man who has a discharge of a semen has the status just like someone who has, in fact, touched the sheretz. A person who has discharged semen, it becomes tamei, otherwise sometimes also referred to as a balkeri. And he actually has the same halachos, the same status as a person as someone who touches a sheretz, and they both are, in fact, a rishon letuma. And what's interesting that our Mishnah makes this comparison between these two, and the reason why it does so is because the balkeri and connected to the person who touches the sheretz is actually linked through a hegish, which is recorded and mentioned in a Gemara in Shabbos. And what's fascinating about this connection is that our Mishnah wants to teach us that that is in fact connected and they're similar, as opposed to someone like a balkeri is actually not similar to, let's say, a person who is a Zav, even though perhaps they're slightly comparable, they actually do not share everything which is the same. So again, the person who is a Balkeri is very similar to the person who touches the Sheretz. And with that, our mission in fact continues, U'bo'al nida kitmeis, and a person, a man who has relations with a woman who is a nida, actually has a very similar halacha, the same law as one who has in fact touched a dead body, a corpse, and they both in fact are considered an av hatuma, meaning just like someone who comes in contact with a corpse is in fact tame for a minimum amount of time of 7 days. Similarly, our mission wants to, in fact, teach us that a bo'al nida, someone who cohabitates with a nida, also needs to wait 7 days before being able to go to the mikvah to purify oneself. Ella, our Mishnah continues, Shechamor mimenu bo'al nida, shehumetame mishkav umoshav tumakala letame ocholin umashkin. However, a man who actually had relations with a nida has an additional chumrah, a stringency, over one who just touched a corpse, because he also has an ability to affect, to contaminate a couch and a seat, and those items would then have an ability to be metame, to contaminate food, ochlin and mashkin, food and beverages. Meaning that this person who is a bo'al nida, cohabitated with a nida, has this additional chumrah, the stringency, that he contaminates his couch and his seat that he lies on or that he sits on, as opposed to just regular contaminated couch of a zav, which is an avatuma. The contaminated couch of a bo'al nida only contracts a light form of tuma, meaning it is only a rishon letuma, which has the ability to contaminate ochlin and mashkin, food and beverages, but does not have an ability to affect tuma to people or to kelim or to vessels. And finally, our last mission of the Masechta, Zavin Perek Hayud Beis, reads the following. Elu poslin es hatruma. All of these people or items invalidate truma, meaning that really according to the Torah, they would not invalidate truma at all, or except perhaps one, but these listed were actually added by rabbinic decree. It's actually part of a Mishnah in Shabbos that says that there was in the days of Hananya ben Chizkiya ben Garon, all the Chacham of the time gathered in the attic, and they in fact enacted a number of different halachos. Rabbinic enactments were established, and a bunch of them are in fact listed in this Mishnah. really, all of these items do not invalidate, should not mean a Torah invalidate Truma, but our Tana wants to, I guess, conclude our Perek by listing those people and objects that cannot transmit Tuma, but nonetheless have an ability, Midrabanan, to invalidate Truma. They can't transmit Tuma, but the Chachamim enacted a rule that they can invalidate Truma for various reasons. The only one which is actually Min HaTorah but would invalidate Truma would be a Tvul Yom, which I will explain momentarily. Let's begin these list of items that would invalidate Truma. I've also mentioned perhaps one of the reasons, a rationale for why Chachamim decided specifically these things should invalidate Truma. Let's begin our list. Ha'ochel, ochel, rishon. The first such person is one who eats food which is a rishon l'truma, meaning food that is a rishon l'truma is any food that actually contacted Tuma from an av hatuma, like food that was touched, for example, by a sheretz. And when a person eats food that is a rishon l'truma, he becomes tamei as a sheni l'truma, and therefore he will invalidate any truma that he touches. Again, that is a rabbinic enactment. What might be the reason why Chacham decided to make such a decree? So the truth is, for many of them, we could actually perhaps be worried about the same thing, that these decrees, these takanos that Chacham made, are really all based on the fear that a Kohen might eat truma while impure food or liquid is in his mouth, and therefore would render it impure. And the Kohen would therefore eat impure truma, which is very problematic. So for that reason, Chacham made an extra sense away of gzera to remove oneself from this possibility by rendering it already pasulim for truma, so therefore the Kohen would never even pick it up to begin with, since it was already in the status of Tuma. Again, what is that second person? Who's this next individual that the enactment occurred? And that was Ha'ochel, Ochel Sheni. Meaning one who eats food which is a sheni lituma. Meaning food that really is a sheni lituma is really any food that came in contact with tuma from a rishon lituma. Meaning food that was touched by a person who touched the sheretz. When a person eats food that is a sheni lituma, he becomes tamei as a sheni lituma as well. And therefore, such individual would pasul, would invalidate truma that he touches. The Mishnah continues. What is this other continuation of the enactment? Shose mashkin tamein, or a person who drinks liquids that are in fact tamei. And a person who drinks these contaminated drinks will become also a sheni l'truma, and would also invalidate truma. So all of these things, as we mentioned, were placed under this decree for fear that a Kohen might be and render truma impure. And therefore, we do not want to eat this truma that would be impure, and therefore, for all these things, Chachamim made enacted gzera. The Mishnah continues, V'haba rosho v'rubo b'mayim shuvim. Meaning one whose head and the greater part of his body enter into drawn water. Let's explain what this is referring to. After a person goes to the mikvah to purify himself, sometimes what would people do? They would actually clean themselves off with mayim shuvim. Let's say take a shower, wash themselves off with regular water, and the reason being was because a person would go to the mikvah in this disgusting, almost cave water, and therefore afterwards they'd want to rinse himself off. Perhaps people might appreciate this. Sometimes mikvahs, even the modern era, are not that clean, and people would want to shower afterwards. And what ended up happening in the times of Chazal, that people came to believe that it was actually this drawn water, this ma'im she'uvim, and not the mikvah that purified them. Because, of course, the idea of the mikvah has nothing to do with dirty or clean or disgusting, but rather it is based on what the Torah felt is something that makes a person pure. And so, yes, even though this water perhaps might be disgusting, nonetheless, it actually purifies you. But people got mixed up and said, no, it couldn't be that disgusting water from a cave purifies you. It must be that mayim shuvim that you're washing yourself with. That's what purifies you. And therefore, in order to prevent people from using the drawn water, it was decreed in the Chachamim and Gzeira to make it be impure. And not only that, but even if 3 lugim of this drawn water fell on the head or greater part of a person, he would actually be able to render teruma unfit until he went and immersed in a proper mikvah. As said by our Mishnah, v'atahar shenaflu al rosho v'al rubo shelosha lugimayim she'uvim. The next part of our Mishnah, the next list, is the following. V'ha-sefer, what does it mean, the sefer? People in the times of Chazal would actually store teruma food with Torah scrolls. Why? Because they're both considered holy. They both had a sense of sanctity to it. What ended up happening was that mice would actually get into these places and would destroy, would gnaw, and would eat and damage the Torah scrolls. And therefore, the Chacham made another decree that, in fact, the Torah scroll actually rendered teruma unfit on contact. This way, people would no longer store teruma with the Sifrei Kodesh. And what I meant by a scroll isn't necessarily just the Torah, but any one of the writings of Tanakh. And therefore, the scroll has the status of a Sheni Lituma, and if it were to touch teruma, it would invalidate it itself. This way, no one would place their teruma with these Sfarim of Tanakh, because they would not want their teruma to come invalidated, and hence this gzera. V'hayadayim, and also hands that were not rinsed, a person who touches teruma without first washing one's hands, would in fact also make teruma puzzle, would invalidate teruma. This idea that a person's hands, who knows what it comes in contact with, who knows what it might have touched. People sometimes aren't really paying attention what their hands are coming in contact with, and therefore they said that stam yadayim, that a regular person's hands also have a status of sheni lituma, and if they were to come in contact with teruma, would invalidate them. How would we ensure that one's hands were not able to pasul truma? By washing them. By, in fact, washing tilas yadayim, that a person's hands remain in the status of being tahor, of course, as long as you're mindful not to touch anything that would render your hands impure. The next part is also a tvul yom. A tvul yom is a person who is tamei, either because of an avatum or rishon l'tuma, and a person has gone to the mikvah, but going to the mikvah is not sufficient. You must wait until the sun sets in order for you to become completely purified. And therefore, if a tful yom, a person went to the mikvah, two in the afternoon, and it's not nighttime yet, if during the rest of the day, before nightfall, this individual's tful yom touches truma, it would also invalidate it. This is what's called as needing harev shemesh, which means nightfall. This is actually not enacted by this upper chamber of Hanana ben Chizkia. This was actually based on a pasuk in Chumash. This is Min HaTorah, where the other ones that were mentioned were added by this enactment of the sages of that time period. And then finally, to conclude our Mishnah, to conclude our Perek, to conclude Maseches Zavim, V'acholim v'akelim shenitmu v'mashkim. food items that actually contracted tuma from tame liquids are also declared to be a sheni l'tuma, which also have an ability of puzzling, of invalidating truma upon contact. And the reason is because this is a precautionary measure against all types of liquids which are often rendered impure, for example, by a sheretz, which liquids are rishon l'tuma min ha-Torah, and therefore Chachamim came along and they made an enactment that liquids would always render something impure, even if they were just, for example, became in contact with unwashed hands, and they'd be a rishon l'tuma, and food rendered impure by such liquids would render truma unfit. And v'kelim shenitmu b'mashkim, and again, also utensils that became contaminated by tamei liquids, also utensils that touched a tamei liquid are also considered a sheni l'tuma, and therefore also have an ability to invalidate truma. And again, as we've said before, Chachamim gave all contaminated liquids the status of rishon l'tuma, and Chachamim went another step further and decreed that these contaminated liquids will not only contaminate food items, but they will also contaminate kelim, utensils, as well. Again, Chachamim, step one was they instituted that the liquids became a rishon, and they also gave this rishon status of contaminated liquids more contaminating power than the Torah, in that these liquids can even contaminate utensils. They did this in order to kind of keep, the Chacham wanted to keep all the laws of tamei liquids in a sense of uniformity, even though really just a mayanos hazav, something we explained before, the springs of hazav, these bodily liquids, secretions of hazav, that would be metame. Nonetheless, Chachamim wanted to make all the liquids equal, and therefore Chachamim said that all liquids will in fact contaminate kelim. This would help avoid confusion and to avoid people becoming lackadaisical with kelim that touched the mayanos hazav. Chachamim therefore said that even utensils would become contaminated when they touched any tamei liquids, and not just mayanos hazav. It was mentioned that in Mishnah 7, but anything now could also render the kelim tamei. And with that, we conclude our Masechta. Thank you so much. I hope you enjoyed, and I hope I was able to provide a little bit of clarity for a very difficult and challenging Masechta. Batzlacha, much success with your continued learning.